We're talking about dogs. Talking about you and your dog. Struggling dogs. Talking about every kind of dog. Good dogs, bad dogs. Especially the sad dogs. Dog, 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 dog. Reward your dog.
Welcome to the Reward Your Dog podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Verena.
We understand what it's like living with dogs who struggle.
And we are here to give you tools and ideas to help you and your dog live an awesome life.
Awesome. All right. Hi. Welcome. So, Verena, this is our first episode. Pretty exciting stuff, huh?
Yeah. I just want to point out you said you did not want to say welcome again.
Did I say welcome?
You sure did.
Well.
That's okay. We can live with it.
I really want everyone to feel welcome. So welcome.
You're very welcoming,
yeah,
Jesse.
Welcome, you guys. So, Verena.
Uh-huh.
What are we going to talk about in our big inaugural episode?
I know. So exciting. So we're going to talk about the buzzword of positive reinforcement and what it really means to live with your dog using a positive mindset as the basis.
Okay. That sounds very interesting. But before we get started, why should anybody care what you have to say?
Well, let's talk a little bit about our bona fides. So I own a company called Reward Your Dog Training. You can already see the connection, right? Reward Your Dog Podcast, Reward Your Dog Training, very imaginative. And I help dogs that experience different behavioral issues. For example, fear, aggression, reactivity in the broadest terms, directed at people, at dogs, at other triggers like bikes, skateboarders, et cetera, et cetera. And dogs that kind of just struggle with life in the world. And I hold several certifications. I don't want to bore you with all the details, but one of the ones I have is a CBCCKA, which is a certification that shows that I've done a lot of training as well as passed an exam in the realm of dog reactivity.
So you're not just some jerk who says they know how animals work.
Well, you know, on some level I am, because even passing an exam like that doesn't mean that you have the know-how necessarily. At the same time, I've also had like several years of experience in this realm. So yeah, I hope I'm not just talking out of my butt.
Well, we'll all find out together, shall we?
What about your bona fides?
My bona fides are that I am the husband of this beautiful and talented woman sitting in front of me.
Aww.
And I grew up with dogs. I've lived with dogs my whole life. I live with lots and lots of dogs all day, every day. And I help her with her training as we go through. But the truth is, I'm the lovely and talented assistant. She's the wizard of the dog world.
Sure. What Jesse is neglecting to say is that he's lived with dogs that have had very severe behavioral issues throughout a lot of his life, which really does change you. And I feel like you've got a lot to contribute to.
It's true. There's a perspective shift that takes place when you live with an animal that's struggling and when you figure out how to understand that animal and how to help them.
Speaking of animals.
Yeah, you want to do the animal check-in?
Let's do it.
All right. So, how did your dogs do today? How did they do this week? Let's make it a week thing.
Okay.
Let's start with our lovely dog, Ozymandias.
Uh-huh.
Ozzy.
You spent more time with Ozzy this last week than I did.
Yeah, that's right. You were out of town for the weekend before doing more dog training stuff, as always.
Mm-hmm.
And Ozzy, we'd had guest dogs in before, so Ozzy had been through a lot of stress. We had some struggly dogs, and Ozzy's a pretty fragile boy anyway. So he had kind of a rough few days starting off. It seemed like he was really down. He's really the dog that we are talking about when we're talking about dogs that struggle.
Yeah, he's a fragile little boy.
But he's really blossoming towards the end of the week. He was being so ridiculously playful and snuggly towards the end of last night.
Yeah.
And this morning he's been really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems like he's back to his usual happy, healthy self, which is actually unusual for him, except that we've kind of got him to a much better place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ozzy's doing good. Iggy's doing good, too. I took her to an RH. So RH is kind of the sports version of search and rescue. So it's not that we're training to be search and rescue folk, but that we're training to do the sport of search and rescue.
Do you want to show off the fact that you are a German can actually pronounce.
Oh, yeah. RH stands for Rettungshund, which is really hard to say for a non-German. But yeah, I am from Germany. I've been in the States for 15 years, and I can say that still. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to call my parents, speaking of German, so I can't forget that. But anyway, Iggy and I went to the seminar down in, so I live in Oregon in the Portland area, and we went down about 4 hours south down I-5 to Grants Pass. And it was really interesting because, well, Iggy, first of all, did really great. We didn't have a lot of foundational exercises, but she had to be around a lot of barky dogs, dogs that, you know, have been that are kept in confinement and find it really hard to be close to other dogs. And she was really good about handling that. She's a German Shepherd. She's a pretty cool as a cucumber for a two-year-old, and it's got a good brain on her. So that was really good. It was very interesting because I was in an area, and we'll talk about that later, kind of dog training, where people don't have a positive reinforcement mindset and don't come at it from that perspective. So I'll have a lot to share about that. But you know, I always, when I put a dog through like a long drive and myself, I always like to spend a little bit of time at the end doing something fun. So on Monday, I took her on a big old hike down in Grants Pass on the Rogue River Trail. The Rogue River is like a world famous kind of river rafting river. But in February, there's not a whole lot of river rafting going on. So I was by my lonesome with my lovely dog, and we just had this beautiful hike. And that was really nice. And then, you know, we came back home and I took all the dogs out for lots of hikes. So I would say the dogs are well exercised, which is maybe why they're so happy right now.
Yeah, they're both doing really well.
Yeah.
And last but never least, our lovely cat, Parsifal.
Parsifal. I feel like he's been kind of quiet lately. He's definitely enjoying not having any guest dogs in the house. But yeah, he's like just lying on the heat vent, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, well, cat.
Cat. Yeah.
He was a hard snuggler last night.
He was. I also have a horse, but we won't talk about her today.
Okay, well, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So what do you have coming up in terms of like courses and classes and that sort of thing?
Actually, I'm in the middle of running basically my two classes. I'm running an in-person class in Portland, Oregon, focused on dogs that struggle with meeting new people. Not like hardcore stranger danger aggression. Actually, SDA stands for Stranger Directed Aggression, but I like the idea that it's called Stranger Danger Aggression. But anyway, so this is a class for dogs that are just socially awkward or really shy around people, and helping these dogs feel better with the presence of people. That's an in-person offering, and we're on to our second session. Today's the first session with actual dogs. And then I am in the middle of running my new online program, which is called the Urban Dog Reactivity Online Program. I know, very imaginative. And that is a course that helps dogs that struggle with some form of on-leash reactivity kind of, you know, work through these issues by giving the guardians the tools and the exercises in addition to the knowledge that they need to work them through it. So that's really exciting. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be running it again soon, and I will let you know.
Nice. So let's get into the meat of the thing. Let's talk about the positive reinforcement mindset.
Sounds good.
So using this positive reinforcement mindset, what's it all about?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about this for literal hours.
I'm sure we will.
Which we, you know, I think I want to give everybody a little taste. But the basic idea is, how can you set up your dog for success?
Right.
I think there's a lot of, you know, like there's, people are not always good at creating safe containers for their dogs where their dogs can actually be successful,
mm-hmm.
or creating circumstances and kind of, you know, a life for them where they can like thrive.
Right. Yeah. A lot of dogs are put in a situation where they are sort of unable to get where they need to be,
mm-hmm.
and make the progress that'll help them be comfortable in the situation that they're in. So adjusting their circumstance so that they can learn the lessons or gain the skills, right? So that then they can go for the walk, or they can be next to the barky neighbor, or they can see the stranger, mm-hmm. or whatever it is that's their issue.
Yeah, I mean, on some level, that is not a topic for this episode, but the question is always, can we cure a dog of behavioral issues? We'll talk about that another time. But we definitely cannot cure a dog of behavioral issues when they're constantly exercising their reactive behaviors.
Right.
Because then they just get really good at being reactive, right?
Right. It's not just exercising, it's practicing in the literal sense.
Yeah.
Like you're practicing flipping out.
Yeah. Practice makes perfect, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So on some level, a lot of what we're going to talk about today is making the good things, the things we want to have our dogs do that are good for them and good for us, more likely, and making the not so good things less likely. So mm-hmm. that's kind of the thing. The first step is, of course, making sure that your dog is healthy.
Right. Just physically healthy.
Yeah. It sounds super trivial, but ultimately, dogs can talk to us. So it's going to be really difficult to figure out if they are feeling good in their bodies. Do you remember how you figured out that Ozzy had an injury in his leg?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was having trouble, or we just noticed he wasn't on the bed, which mm-hmm. he normally would be.
Yeah.
And so that kind of said to us, like, why is he not on the bed? What's going on there?
Mm-hmm.
And then watching him, it just seemed he was really trepidatious getting up on the couch and seemed to favor one leg on the hind there. And that kind of led us down a path of exploring that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that stuff is easy to miss. I mean, if you have a dog like ours who's on the bed, I would say maybe at least 10 hours out of the day, if he yeah. has his way, right? He doesn't sleep in the bed with us at the moment, but, you know, by himself, he'll spend most of his time that we're not hiking or doing other things on the bed. And then suddenly they're not on the bed. That's a pretty big behavioral shift.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes those things can be a lot more subtle.
Yeah.
And easy to miss. And dogs can tell us, hey, my foot really hurts.
Or, you know, it makes me think both you and I had pretty rough headaches
yeah.
over the course of this week.
We did.
And I know neither of us was at our best on those days, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and that's not something that's easy to pick up on. Like, it's not like a broken arm or a limp or anything like that. But we were both struggling
mm-hmm.
and probably made us both crabbier and a little more fragile. And if your dog is in pain in that kind of way, or, you know, nauseous or, you know, whatever the thing might be, that's going to throw them off. So you're right. Like
mm-hmm.
the physical health of the dog is a really big deal to their behavioral, you know, health.
Absolutely. The second piece of the puzzle is that it's important to meet your dog's needs in the broadest sense. I mean, this is, again, any of these topics we could dive into super deep and explore and go down rabbit holes, and we may well do that in the future. But by that, I mean, if your dog is constantly under-exercised because they're a young dog that has a need to move their body, then they are probably not going to be at their best either. Right? So I feel my best if I go to the gym a few times a week and, you know, walk my 10,000 steps.
Yeah, there's a reason that, like, they have recess, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Because kids are not made to sit at a desk all day long, and your dog is not meant to sit at home all day long.
Depends on the dog a little
bit.
That's right.
That is
you know,
exactly
age,
right.
health, and all that good stuff. But, you know, some dogs really thrive on using their nose a lot. Some dogs really need to run around in the woods a couple of times a week. Some dogs really want to chew all the things, and some dogs want to do all three. So it's really important to figure out what your dog needs to be able to even relax and thrive.
Yeah, and that can
life.
Be a tough one, especially the exercise component.
Yeah.
Finding a way for that to work in the, you know, in your life
mm-hmm.
is a real challenge, because not everybody has the option of taking their dog out for a, you know, 2-hour hike every, you know, two or three times a week.
Yeah, or more.
Or more.
You know, if you think about our friend Chris, who has a young husky who needs to be exercised, you know, 4 to 5 times a week.
Yeah, he just wants to pull a sled through the
yes.
through the snow for, you know, all day, every day, basically. That'd be his dream job.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a great job, but there's a reason they're bringing him to daycare with us
mm-hmm.
once a week. Because they're like, yes, hike my dog on the mountain. I would say that if your dog is unhealthy or their needs are not being met, it's going to be the case that you're going to see behaviors pop up that you don't like. So if you want to use a positive reinforcement mindset and live kind of in alignment with your dog, those two are non-negotiable.
Right. And we haven't talked that much about positive reinforcement mindset yet, but I presume we're getting to that.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm really talking about is that it's really hard to help your dog do the right thing when they're not, you know, healthy and happy.
Yeah.
Same with me, by the way.
And same with everyone.
Yeah. I mean, right now I'm working a little bit more than I should, And that stresses me out. I'm not at my best right now, right? And I know that in order to feel happy and work at my fullest capacity, I need to change that.
Right.
Yeah. But that's okay. The next piece, and that's the last one of kind of, you know, what we would call the antecedents or the conditions under which the dog can work best, mm-hmm. is setting up the home environment that the dog is in, or any environment really that you bring your dog into, to create healthy boundaries.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, for example, if I don't want my dog to rush people coming in the house,
right?
If I don't want my dog to rush my friend who's coming in the door, I might need to set up a baby gate to make that behavior less likely.
Right. So you're, by making the behavior impossible, by putting that baby gate there, you're keeping the dog from rehearsing the behavior you don't want to see?
Yeah, precisely.
Right.
So I'm putting management in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps me go, yeah, okay, I don't want this. I haven't trained it just yet. But I'm also not going to let my dogs do the thing I don't want to do.
Right, because if you're training them once a week in some, like, non-charge-the-person behavior, but then three times a day for the rest of the week, they have an opportunity to charge somebody.
Yeah.
You're kind of working uphill there.
Pretty much. Well, that's one thing. And how that relates to positive reinforcement is kind of, if you don't put management in place, you're going to be in a situation where you have to correct your dog.
Correct meaning negative reinforcement?
Well, I don't want to get into a big discussion of what we call the quadrants of learning, right? All that positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement stuff. But what I mean by correcting is that we say no to our dog.
Right.
We say, knock it off, don't do that. And that just means, I mean, I'm not saying that you can never say no to your dog or tell your dog to knock it off. I have done that on occasion. But the next step should be, okay, what went wrong here?
Right.
How can I manage that better? Maybe my dog shouldn't be around while I'm eating steak.
Right. What is the situation that caused us to have to take some negative action?
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and how do we avoid that situation next time?
If we want to sum that up, I always say if you're operating under a positive reinforcement mindset, your job is to create a life for your dog where you don't have to resort to, you know, violence in the broadest sense. And violence just can also just mean raising your voice, growling at your dog. It can also be more. But I really do think that creating a life where you're not struggling and fighting with your dog.
Right, because is that the relationship you want to have with your friend, right?
Precisely.
Right? Like if you have a human friend and they come over, you don't want to be like snapping at them and telling them that they're, you know, doing the wrong thing or whatever. You want to have like, you want them to have positive feelings about you, and it's the same with your dog.
So in a way, negative situations and events stick in our brain more than positive ones.
Right. Like getting burned on a hot stove only needs to happen once.
Right. Yeah, yeah, precisely. So it is very normal for us to say, my dog did all these things that I didn't like, and then I had to say no and shoo them out or shout at them or, you know, spray water at them or whatever it is. Versus saying, oh, I really liked how the whole time before that happened, they were actually lying outside the kitchen.
Right. We don't notice the good dog as much as we notice the bad dog, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's kind of the mindset shift that I'm talking about.
Right. About looking for the good.
Mm-hmm. Looking for the good.
And then reinforcing it.
Yeah. Speaking of reinforcing.
Okay.
I love that. So that's kind of the technical term.
That's what they call a segue, folks.
Yes. Get it. Well, as you know, my company is called Reward Your Dog Training, and this is the Reward Your Dog podcast. But if we want to be technical, reinforcement means a behavior is maintained or strengthened.
Okay.
That means, let's say I really like it when my dog stays outside the kitchen. That means I will deliver something my dog finds desirable when they are outside the kitchen. And that makes the behavior of them staying outside the kitchen more likely, or makes it as likely as it has been.
Because staying outside of the kitchen is better than being in the kitchen.
Precisely. Nothing good happens in the kitchen for them.
Right.
But good stuff happens when they stay outside the kitchen.
Nice.
And that's what I mean by reinforcing. It means that a behavior is maintained, or we're making it even more likely.
Right.
Strengthening it.
Because we do things that we like because we like them, and we like them because they make us happy because something good happens.
Yeah.
Right?
The consequence is positive.
So if I go back for that second potato chip, it's because I liked the first one.
Yeah. So it sounds like you already know what could be a reinforcer for you, or reward, if you want to be less technical. And that could be a potato chip.
Sure.
So, like,
what do you got?
You know what? I'm a salt and vinegar gal.
Salt and vinegar, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go there.
Okay.
I like the salt and pepper ones.
Mm, yeah,
right, okay. The like kettle chippy ones.
Yeah, those thick ones.
Uh huh.
Yep. Yeah. That sounds like you. Not quite my reinforcer. I'm not a big chip person anyway, so I would probably take some dark chocolate maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, as we're talking about it, it's really important to find out what your dog will work for. That means what is going to affect your dog's behavior, essentially. So, for example, both of our dogs are kind of food snobs. So if I want to use food, it's unlikely that I will be able to maintain a behavior with kibble.
Right.
For both of my dogs. Depends on the kibble. I mean, there's some novel kibbles where they're like, sure, I'll try that. Mm-hmm. I'll work for that. But for the most part, I have to maybe go to freeze-dried beef or some pork liver or something like
right.
that.
Right. And some behaviors that we might want to discourage are rewarding for the dog.
Yes, that's right? the whole thing.
So you got to find something that's more powerful as a reward, right?
Yes, use your management, right?
Or use your management. Mm-hmm. But if barking at the mailman is fun, what's funner?
Yeah, well, barking at the mailman is a whole kettle of fish okay. that I'm not going to open.
That example, perhaps.
Because it could also be that barking at the mailman is rewarded by the mailman going away. Mm-hmm. Hey, intruder comes, I bark, 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 and then the person leaves, I made them leave. And that could be the reward here.
Right.
So it is complicated. We're going to keep it simple. So I would love for you to find out what your dog finds reinforcing. Some classics would be using food.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us, you know, and in the broadest sense of the term, positive reinforcement trainers, if you want to. By the way, guys, there's no such thing as purely positive. We'll talk about that another time, not today. Yeah, food is a great and easy to access reinforcer. We can carry it around in our pocket, which is really convenient.
Yeah.
So I like using food for reinforcement. What are some other things that we might use?
Well, some dogs love toys.
Yeah,
absolutely. Some dogs just want that squeaky alligator.
Mm-hmm.
Some dogs love affection.
Yes.
Our dog Ozzy, he's not that food motivated. He'll take it, and sometimes he's excited about it. But just as often, what he really wants is to have his butt rubbed or to just kind of come in and be loved on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for him, he really cares about approval sometimes, yeah. Other things that you can consider, this is a little bit harder to control, but is access to things your dogs love.
Yeah.
If your dog is constantly pulling you through the door to go on a walk, you are probably reinforcing pulling. If they love the walk that much, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you ask them to be calm before you open that door and they get to go outside, you might be reinforcing calmer behavior. So rewards, yeah.
Because getting to go on the walk then becomes the reward for being calm rather than the thing that they're pulling towards.
Precisely. Well, it's a reward either way.
It's a reward either way, but the behavior that they exhibit to get that reward is either one that you enjoy or one that you don't enjoy.
Precisely.
Right.
Yeah. Life rewards is a whole big topic. But yeah, so I don't want to just say, hey, all you have is food. You have a whole thing at your fingertips, but that depends on your dog. And it depends a little bit on how much can you control access to that, right? If your dog is off leash and they love chasing wildlife, they are going to self-reinforce when they see a deer.
Yeah, but sometimes you can even use that to your advantage, right?
Sure.
Like we've had a dog on leash, and the dog would see a bird, get all excited, and we'd be like, okay, Iggy, check in. She, you know, sits and looks at us and stuff like that, and then we pop her off the leash and say, go get that bird, which she never will. So, but she loves the opportunity to try.
That went really south one time. Do you remember?
Oh, yes.
She saw a rabbit. I recalled her from the rabbit. it was an amazing recall. I dropped the leash and she chased the rabbit up a couple of blocks. Yeah, so folks, don't off-leash your dogs in the city, even at midnight. Not a great idea. Everything went fine. But it was just such a reflex because I wanted to give her the life reward. It was not the right circumstance to do it. I just got too excited about training.
Nobody's perfect.
Her recall has gotten snappy since then, though.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of wrap this segment up, maybe. Mm-hmm. So I really think it's a good idea to start seeing the things that you like your dog to do and begin rewarding them, either using food, using toys, using life rewards, using praise. You know, praise doesn't always cut it for every dog, but you can experiment to see if your dog will work for it. And then you should also review your management if you find yourself having to say no a lot.
Yeah. And with this rewarding stuff, like, there's timing and there's technical stuff about how to get the most out of it. But just getting started is a big deal, right?
It is a big deal. And that leads us to the quick tip of the week.
Whoa.
So the quick tip of the week is a strategy called SMART times 50, developed by a trainer called Kathy Sadeo. We'll talk about her soon. SMART stands for See, Mark, and Reward Training. And times 50 means doing it 50 times, which seems like a lot, but we'll talk about that too. So get a bowl of food that your dog will work for. It could be their regular kibble, if they're into that. In my case, we use raw food. That would be disgusting. Don't do that. But I would use, you know, a treat that they would enjoy. And then it is your dog's job. Well, no, it is your job. Your dog can just be a dog. It is your job to say yes to your dog and grab a treat from the bowl and give it to your dog 50 times throughout the day when you see your dog do something you like.
Would it be a good idea to put 50 treats in the bowl so that you can track your progress?
That would be the best idea if you had it together. I never do, but...
Yeah, well, it's... Counting 50 little pieces of kibble is a little bit of a drag, but that's, you could probably estimate.
Yeah, that's a really good way to do it.
If that's a quarter cup, maybe you just do a quarter cup every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I like that. But it's basically like, oh, my dog is watching me prepare food, but they're not jumping up on the counter. Yes, good job. I like when you sit there, mm-hmm. right? Or my dog is outside the kitchen. Yes, let me reward you with a piece of food. Or, hey, you were really crazy earlier and you just laid down. Yes, good job. I like that, right?
Right.
So just really going like, I see you and I appreciate you for doing that.
It seems like that's training you at least as much as it's training the dog. It's training
Absolutely.
You to look for the good times.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's a double whammy. Okay, ready for our shout out?
Yeah, shout it out.
Okay. So I want to shout out Kathy Sadeo. She is in the Pacific Northwest as well, and her company is Bright Spot Dog Training. Her website is www.kathysdao.com. And you can read all about her amazing and groundbreaking training there. The Smart Times 50 trick is from her, and she has a bunch of other really good ideas. A webinar of hers that I found very eye-opening is how to help dogs eat who struggle to eat their food. And I've used a bunch of these ideas with my dogs when they had trouble eating. And I recommend checking her out. She's awesome.
Awesome. All right. Thanks a lot for tuning into the Reward Your Dog podcast. We hope you will choose to listen again next time. In the meantime, we would love to hear from you. Feel free to send us email at...
Verena@rewardyourdogtraining.com. That is Verena at rewardyourdogtraining.com. You can also follow Reward Your Dog Training on Facebook under Reward Your Dog Training, Instagram at Reward Your Dog Training, and on TikTok at Reward Your Dog. Please give your dog a cookie for us.
And give yourself a cookie. And we hope you come back next time.
Yay!
Bye.
Bye.
We're talking about dogs. Talking about you and your dog, struggling dogs.